You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Book of Job records one of the, I guess, the saddest accounts of a human experience that I've ever read about. And I'm a reader. I've pastored now for 34 years at one place and several years prior to that. And in my experience as pastor, I've never come across any family, any individual that had the assault of Satan on them like this man. And let me remind you that he was a man that did right. If you read chapter 1, the description, he's a man who eschewed evil. He was an upright man. And he was God's choice to combat Satan. And he was a man who did right, but yet it didn't turn out all right. I used to say this a lot, Dr. Treiber. I'd say, you cannot do wrong and get by. And I still believe that. The Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. But I've lived long enough now, Brother Baker, to know this, that you can't do right and get by with it. Yeah, in Timothy it says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I've been preparing messages to preach at our church, and I knew when I preach that message, it's going to cost me. I knew when I preach that message, I was going to lose some folks. I knew I'd have some friends that would turn their back on me. I've been in meetings like this and going to preach in a conference and thinking, if I say that, it's going to hurt me. There won't be any thumbs up on my Facebook. Somebody say amen. But it needed to be said. About ain't nobody saying much now, are they? But here's a man whose account was given, I don't think anyway, by accident, the oldest literary page of Scripture. They tell us, the theologians, that this is the oldest book of the Bible. I guess they could record and those days, thinking about no mention of Moses, no mention of the law, the Pentateuch wasn't quoted from. But God was there. And here was a man who's doing right. He's doing right as he's been taught to do. In fact, verse 5 of chapter 1, the Bible said, it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and he rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. Now, I want to get your attention. Think about it. He's acting on tradition. This is a day where there was no Bible. This is a day where there was no indwelling Holy Ghost. This was a day where there was no New Testament church. This is a day where there's no pastor. There's no prophet mentioned. There's no priest. But yet here's a man who somewhere down the line, he had been given a tradition. Now we know where that tradition came from. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to find out. That's Abel. Out of the first four living humans, here's one of them who did right. And God accepted his sacrifice. It was tradition. But that's not a bad word, tradition. And he did right. And then here was a man, no telling how many years later, that all he did was follow the pattern of tradition. All they knew to do was, there was this man named Abel. I can imagine in my mind's eye, I can see Job's daddy saying, y'all come here a minute. Put your cell phones down. I want to talk to you. Pay attention to me now. Turn off that TV. Now there was this man named Abel. And he offered the sacrifice that God accepted. And so what we're going to do now, we're going to go kill us a bullock. We're going to go kill us a lamb. We're going to go make a sacrifice, and we're going to burn this sacrifice unto the Lord. And probably one of them said, well, why? Say, you don't have to know why. We're doing what God accepted. You don't always need explanations for why. It's just right to do right. Amen. And so he's acting on what has been handed down, tradition from one generation to the next generation, with no Bible. Amen. No church, no indwelling Holy Ghost, no pastor, no priest, no preacher. But God looked down and said, that's a good one right there. I like him. Y'all know chapter 1, Satan's going to and fro. He's up and down in the earth. He's trying to find fault. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he comes to God and said, there ain't nigh one. That's being interpreted, nobody. Amen. There ain't nigh one down there doing right. And they're all messed up. They're all riven wicked. And he said, hold up. Have you considered my servant Job? And he puts him in a contest between the devil. He said, well, I'll tell you what you do. You let me do anything. I'll get him. You give him over to me. And he said, well, you do everything but touch his body. Y'all know the story. And so there he is, and he takes his family. It's four of them. It's tragedy. I mean, man, a messenger came in verse 14, and while Job was there with the oxen plowing and the feeding the asses, he said, the Sabaeans fell upon them. And while he was yet speaking in verse 16, another bad report came. In verse 17, while he was yet speaking, the third bad report came. And in verse 18, while he was yet speaking, the fourth bad report came. And I mean, one after another, four times. I'm not talking about he's heard that somebody's got a flat tire. He's not talking about the roof's leaking. I'm talking about the house has been blown away. Their fists have to dig 10 graves for his children. Hardship and disappointment. Yeah, it's a fact that if you're going to do right, it's going to cost you. And don't always judge the actions of negativity, the actions of hardship to be an attack against you. Sometimes it's God. The Bible said in Nahum, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwinds, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Peter said, after you've suffered a while. Well, we want everything to be easy. We want everything to be with no valleys and no uphill climbs. Just bring it to me all on flat ground, Lord. Make it easy for me. But he said, after you've suffered a while, I said, I'll establish you and strengthen you and settle you. Sometimes it's the will of God we go through difficulty. No doubt it was the will of God that this experience of Job to be recorded 42 chapters so that here, thousands of years later, 2024, I'd be preaching to some of you who are hurting. Some of you who've gone through some adversity. Some of you that's gone through some obstacle and with misunderstanding don't know why. It's interesting to me, Job never knew why, but he kept on going. Job never knew how long it was going to last, but he kept on going. Amen. Job didn't know it was being recorded. He had no idea. Well, this day of reality TV, I've got where I want him to pick my nose at a red light. Somebody say amen. Where you go, somebody's watching you, man. You know what? Somebody help me now. Ma'am, you can laugh at that. That'll be okay. Hey, I'm talking about friend. They're watching. They watched every move he made. And the Holy Ghost pinning this, making sure it's recorded accurately. He didn't know that, but he kept on going. Let me say, you can retain your integrity in hardship. But we find him at Eliab in chapter number 2. The Bible said, and again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered, Lord, I'm going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there's none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and he still hold fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. He's got no legitimate reason to be going through this hardship. The only credit he's got is he feared God. Amen. And he followed tradition. And Satan answered, verse 4, he said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Our Heavenly Father, I come to you this evening, and I don't even question or doubt that there's pastors here tonight who are sitting among the ashes. There's parents here tonight who are sitting among the ashes. And they're pondering, Lord, why? Lord, I've tried to serve you. I've tried to stand for you. But yet hardships come and disappointments come and heartaches come in my family. Heartaches come in our church. Heartaches come in my ministry. And Lord, I'm not seeing what I want to see. And they find them sitting as Job in the ashes. I pray tonight you'd help us to get up from the ashes and move on and seek once again the blessing and presence of God. It is available and it is accessible. Help me tonight to preach what I believe you laid on my heart for this hour, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You understand, he's there in that pile of ashes. That ashes is a representation. In fact, it was the place where year after year he'd been offering sacrifices. He'd been offering to the Lord bullocks and lambs and turtle doves and all these burnt sacrifices that was well-pleasing unto God. And he had a pile of ashes set there. It was his place of worship. And he's got to a place now where he has nothing else to offer. You understand, his welfare is gone. All of his finances are gone. His family's gone and his houses have blown down. All he's got left is a nagging wife. You know, the devil knew what not to take. Somebody say amen. And he's sitting there in that pile. He finds himself where he reached a place where he said, man, I don't know what else to do. I can't offer a sacrifice. I can't write a check. All I can do is just give myself to the Lord. That's a pretty good move when this difficulty comes in your life. Don't turn your back on God. And we find him walking over to that pile of ashes. He stands in that, and finally he said, I'm just going to sit down here and say, Lord, I hadn't got anything else to give you. And the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord. I can see him say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now you may not be there tonight, but I wished I could tell you that serving God is going to be real easy. And you're never going to get your heart broken. I wish I could tell you tonight as a parent that you're going to serve God, you're going to raise your children right, and they're all going to turn out perfect. But I can't say that. I can't tell you that there's ever going to be a difficulty at your church, that you're never going to have a split. We've had 9. Somebody say amen. Y'all okay? I can't tell you that you're going to go through the Christian life and there not be some adversity, because the Bible tells us there's going to be problems. Jesus himself said, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. It's not going to be everything what you're expecting. And sometimes you'll be guilty of trying to blame the devil for problems. There was a comedian in the 70s, his name was Flip Wilson, and he would always come up. He had a religious segment in his program. Some of y'all know, don't act like you don't know. God will kill you in here acting like you don't know. Old Flip said, well, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil doesn't always make you do wrong things. We choose to do wrong things. And sometimes we find ourselves in a pile of ashes that we made, problems that we brought on ourselves, difficulties that we deserve. Amen. Sometimes serving God, God allows things to happen in our life. I want to help you tonight if I can. I want to preach on how to get out of the ashes. From tragedy to triumph. Now, I've pastored this Middle Tennessee Baptist Church for long enough, I've got some people that just are gluttons for punishment. You understand? They like it. Honestly, they like getting a cast. Amen. They like going to the surgeon. They like the attention, the meal train. Somebody help me. That accompanies and all the attention and the cards and the letters and, oh, I hope you're doing better. They like the services they can skip staying in the bed. Somebody say amen. Some people just like that. So some people enjoy that. They enjoy those difficult times. But that's not me. I don't want to stay in the ashes. My GPS is set on chapter number 42. Amen. I don't want to stay over here in chapter 2. I don't want to stay in this hardship, this disappointment, this despondency. And if God will help me, I want to give you some things I believe will help you get out of the ashes. Number one, if you're going to get out of the ashes that you're in, if you're going to get out of hardship, if you're going to get away from that depression and that discouragement that accompanies serving God, don't look at me now. We're here to encourage you. Well, one way to encourage you is to get you to keep on keeping on even when it's hard. Because when you leave this conference now, you're going to be fired up. But friend, when you get there, there's going to be somebody to meet you with a wet blanket. There'll be somebody, well, he's been over there with Dr. Treber and all that. Now we're going to go bus visiting. Now we're going to have soul winning. Now we start these standards again. Let me say, thank God he's still doing that right now. Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't think you're going to leave this place with on fire for God and there not be somebody there to try to extinguish that. You'll be hurt. First thing we need to understand is when trouble comes and difficulty comes, if you're going to get out of ashes, you're going to have to acknowledge God in every situation of your life. Quit giving the devil credit. Quit giving bad luck credit. Quit giving the black cat. I'm from Tennessee. They're so superstitious up there, it's unreal. Man, a black cat crossed the road, they'll turn around and take another route. It's unreal, the superstition. People believe in that stuff. Amen. Let me tell you something, friend. You're going to stay in those ashes until you acknowledge God. The first thing he did after life-disturbing upsets, four announcements, one after, not a week apart, not a year apart, not some time to recover, but as one messenger came, and another messenger came, and another messenger came, and another messenger came, guess what he did? He called his friends and said, "I didn't know it was going to be like this. I didn't know. I thought when you serve the Lord, everything's going to be all right." What he did was verse number 20, Job arose and rent his mantle. Verse chapter 1, and he shaved his head and he fell down on the ground and he worshiped. Let me tell you what you need to do during difficulty. You need to acknowledge God in worship. I mean, you just need to acknowledge God. Some of y'all be real good if you just learn to worship God a little bit. You need to get ready for worship. You need to prep yourself. Coming to the house of God, there's ways to get ready. Like track one. Hit track one on the way. Amen. God walks the dark hills, the highways and byways. And let's go Vestal a little while. That'll help you. Hit track two and hit that primitive quartet. Singing, "I'm no longer an orphan. Someone has rescued me. My clothes no longer are tattered. My family is royalty." That'll start helping you a little bit. Start getting ready for church. Some of y'all don't know how to go to church. You come in here and got to have three cheers for Jesus before you get here. Man, why don't you have a little pepper life before you get here? Amen. He worshiped God. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of despondency, in the midst of despair. I mean, you read chapter 2 and man, he said, "Man, well, I wish I'd have just died. I wish I'd have been born." He starts talking crazy, man. I mean, he said, "Why did I not die from my mother's womb? Why did I not give the ghost up when I came out of the womb? I wish I'd have died." But he kept worshiping God in the middle of that. In the middle of that despair, in the middle of that depression, he said, "I'm going to worship God anyway." You need to acknowledge God in the difficulties of your life. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. We once, well, the devil's done this. And millennials make me sick, along with some other folks. Amen. The devil's fighting us. We had a flat tire on the way to church. No, Dodo, look up here. The light's been on for 2 weeks. It's called a valve stem. Amen. It's called a tire pressure gauge. Amen. We was trying to come and everything to church. We ran out of gas and all. The devil's so hard on us. Oh, my hind leg, that's your blame fault. Somebody say amen. You got to put gas in the tank, friend. Amen. That's not the devil's fault. Quit blaming the devil for everything. Acknowledge him. You know, God's trying to show you, put some gas in your tank. God's trying to teach you. Some of you boys need to learn to change a tire. Amen, friend. Amen. It's preaching time now. A while ago, I had butterflies in my stomach. Now they're flying in formation, praise God. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in worship. Acknowledge him as it worsens. Some of you are thinking right now, "I just don't know if I can take any more." Let me tell you something. Hey, you better be prepared because it's probably going to get worse. I'm 60 years old, 61 now, 61 now. I'm facing things at 61 I never thought I'd have to face. There's things I'm going through right now that I never thought I would have to experience. I thought I was past some of this. You understand? I thought I'd done past that test. I was gone. But hey, all of a sudden, on the horizon of my life, dark clouds begin to rise up. Amen. On the coastline of my existence, things are not always as easy as I thought they were going to be. It's going to be difficult. And as it worsens, you better not say, well, I tell you, I didn't know. Well, you better trust God. Lean on God. If you've ever prayed, you need to pray. If you've ever read the Bible, you need to read the Bible. Oh, Elijah faced some difficulties he never thought he'd face. He was in depression. He's on that juniper tree. And an angel of the Lord came and touched him and said, arise and eat and drink. And he did, but he laid back down. And then the angel of the Lord, the Christophany, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Christ, walks up and touched him and said, now you better get up and eat. Arise and eat and drink. You know what you're going to need during the journeys, during the difficulties, during the days when ashes seem to be all you can find and you're looking for God but you can't find him, you're looking for help but you have no answers? Hey, you better acknowledge God as it worsens. It can get worse. It can get worse. Here's his wife said, don't you think this is enough? Verse 9, and then his wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And he said unto her, thou speakest like one of you mama's people. No, I'm sorry, that's not in the originals. Thou speakest as one of foolish women speaketh. What shall receive good at the hand of God, and then we shall not receive any evil? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Now watch me, he acknowledged God in worship, he acknowledged God as it worsened, but he acknowledged God's will. He said, we've had good things, mama. Well, we've had 10 children. Man, we've had cattle. We've had asses. We've had homes. We've had the best of the best. Hey, don't you think if good as God's been to us, listen, couldn't we handle a little bit of hardship? I'm looking at a crowd out here that's been spoiled, and I'm not saying spoiled in the sense of the message this morning. I'm talking about just spoiled rotten. We've been given and given our nation. I look at these Filipino missionaries. I look at these on the foreign soil. And America's been given everything. It's easy. No difficulty. Amen. Very little adversity. We whine and cry, oh, we'll have to wear a mask. Somebody say amen. You don't have to go underground to preach your Bible yet. Amen. We still can stand in a pulpit in America and open an authorized 1611 King James Bible and preach the Word of God. Hey, and I'm telling you things, watch me now. Sometimes it's the will of God that we don't get what we want. He said, listen, Miss Job, shall we always have good things? You know what help you? It would help you to look back on how God, if you never got blessed again, you ought to look over your shoulder. It'd be real good tonight if you remembered the night you was lost and being under Holy Ghost conviction and miserable on the inside, couldn't sleep at night, and praise God, the Holy Ghost kept knocking on your door. Had the preacher kept preaching the gospel, and they sang Amazing Grace, and they sang Just As I Am one more time, and they gave you that opportunity to walk down. You ought to look back. Has it been so long ago that some of y'all forgot you was lost? Am I preaching to somebody tonight? It's been so long since you've been saved that you forgot you was on your way to hell. The Bible says you were condemned already because you've not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Has it been so long you think you're so good? No, friend. When we were yet without strength, in due season Christ died for the ungodly. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Hey, you need not forget about that good day you got saved. Look at the mate God gave you. Some of you men need to look in the mirror. I mean, hey, he that findeth a wife out of the good thing, and you, hey, you won the lottery. Y'all listening? Acknowledge God. You don't get out of ashes, you'll be looking for God. Number two, and we're moving on. If you don't get out of these ashes, you got to acknowledge God, but you're going to have to accept people. The Bible said, verse 11, now when Job's three friends heard of this evil, man, with friends like Job, who needs enemies? They came, everyone to his own place, and y'all know what happened, verse 13. So when they saw him, they sat down with him upon the ground for 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him. I mean, they were just like going, I ain't believing this. Is this Job? Is this old brother Job? Man, he don't even look like himself. It's amazing, you get in trouble, friends will start judging you. Who brought this blindness on? Who brought this lame? His sins of his mother, his sins of himself, or sins of his parents? Yeah. Lord said, none of neither one. I brought it so that I could get glory. Right. You're going to have to give room for some friends. Right. Amen. You're going to have to accept that friends are going to hurt your feelings. Right. Lifelong friends. Right. Some of them mean well. Yeah. You understand, they didn't have a Bible to go to. They didn't have a verse. They didn't have a chapter. They didn't have the books of Moses. They just coming up, well, it looks like to me. Be careful when you start judging somebody going through hardship. Be careful when you start looking down at another family whose children go wayward, who gets a divorce. Be careful how you look. Amen. You better be real careful how you esteem, how you look. Well, I tell you, that never happened to us. That's famous last words, friend. You better pray to God it never happens to you. Hey, friend, you better seek God and pray to God. And hey, honor God during difficulty. His friend, his family will let you down. Your family will let you down. In chapter number 42, you look back over there in verse 11, you don't have to turn now, but the Bible said that his brothers and sisters who had turned their back on him during that adversity after God touched him, they started coming back to see him again. Look at me. If you don't get out of the ashes, you're going to have to accept that people aren't perfect. You're going to have to accept that some people, hey, some of them might not even mean wrong. Some of them might have been, I don't think those three friends that came for 7 days, who's going to take off of work 7 days just to sit around and look at a man with sores on the top of his head? So they were trying to do something. They just didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to fix it. You better give some room for your family. You better give some room for your wife. You better give some room for your husband. Hey, parents, you better give some room for your children. If you don't, you're going to stay in that pile of ashes. You're going to stay there depressed and despondent and ready to throw in the towel, hey, ready to quit. Hey, I'm telling you, your friends will let you down. Friends will break your heart. Family will break your heart. Your enemies, your foes, they'll break you. They're looking for you to mess up. We ought to be walking circumspectly. The Bible said walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time. Preacher friend, look at me. They're watching you in town. They're watching how you handle adversity. They're watching how you handle it when things don't go right and everything's not perfect. I'm talking about they're watching you real close. Billy Kelly said to walk circumspectly. Old preacher Billy Kelly said that's like a tomcat walking on the fifth strand of a barbed wire fence with two foaming pit bulls on either side. Said he's real careful where he puts his foot down. You'd be real careful. We're epistles. We're read. They're watching us. Telling you right now, tragedy is awful, but nobody's exempt. Depression, man, it's annoying, but nobody's got a card to pass that thing. I'm saying as a family, I'm thinking about this. What did he do? Turn with me to chapter 40, chapter 42. When those friends are misunderstanding, old Joseph went through some adversity. His brethren mistreated him. His father and mother misunderstood him. Old Potiphar's wife misrepresented him. And by the way, he wasn't guilty. Be careful about all that too, jumping on something. Amen. He wasn't guilty. Did I mean to say I said Joseph wasn't guilty? Amen. And I meant to say Joseph wasn't guilty either. Amen, friend. They lied on him. Guess what the Bible says, verse 10. That's been 40 long chapters. We don't know how long this span of time has been. Could have been years, could have been months, but it's been a long time. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Notice these words. When he prayed for his friends. You're never going to get out of the ashes till you start praying for your friends. You go to praying for your friends, God hears that. God recognizes that. He said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. He prayed for his friends. He prepared. I'm telling you, those people accept that people hurt you. You need to be prepared. I've got to where now when somebody pats me on the back, I figure they're wiping off a place to stab. Somebody say amen. We love you, Brother Tony. If you just keep preaching like that, we won't ever leave the church until they get some daughters. And them daughters start running the house. With them butterfly tattoos and them miniskirts. Somebody say amen. Oh, we just love you. Break your heart. People have been with you a long time. Friends you never thought you'd lose. You better pray for them. Better be preparing for them. Then you need to see there's some progress. It can get better. His family did come back. Look at it. It said in verse 11, then there came unto him all his brethren and all of his sisters. Not some of them. Y'all King James? How many is King James only in here? Just want to see who the rest of you fools are. Somebody say amen. It said all of them. I believe all of them came. All of them that had been his acquaintances before, and they did eat bread with him. They had turned their back on him, but he got his friends back. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on your loved ones. Or you're going to stay in the ashes. Can I give you this? He acknowledged God. He accepted people. But he allowed some time. The Bible says in verse 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, and he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses, jennies. Now, do y'all believe that happened? Amen. The gestation period on a cow is 9 months. And he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. I bet you old Job's wife wished she had kept her mouth shut. God got her back. Running that mouth. Somebody say amen. Amen. Bible said he had those daughters born in verse 15, and all that land were no women found as fair as his daughters of Job. And their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this, Job lived 140 years. And he saw his sons and his sons' sons and even 4 generations. Now, some of the Bible teachers tell us that's a picture of Israel, and I don't doubt it. It's a prophecy. It's a picture of the nation of Israel. But I just believe the Bible has it written as well. I don't know if he had all twins, and I don't know how he had them all, but I believe he had 10 more children. Now, y'all can be wrong if you want to, but I said, I believe he had 10 more children. 9 months, that takes a while. We're living in an hour of instant gratification. Buy now, pay later. We want everything now. We want everything to happen now. Fix it now. I want all my troubles to go away now. I want all my bulls to be fixed now. I want all my cattle back now. I want all my houses. Hey, Lord, I've tried to serve you. I've tried to labor. I've eschewed evil. I've been an upright man. I've offered sacrifices. Hey, if you forgot about me, I want my part back. I can't promise you this, that you're going to get double the portion back. But I promise you this, that if you'll serve God, your latter end is going to be better than the beginning. Amen. I'm hanging on to that. I've had a good beginning. I have no complaints about my beginning. My beginning's been well. Man, I'm telling you, I was raised in a Christian home, one of the greatest godless men that's ever walked this earth. I lived with him consciously for over 40 years or more. I never heard him say a curse word. I never saw him sin. Don't get nervous. I didn't say he was sinless. I said I never saw him. Never heard him use a euphemism. Never heard him tell a joke that could be taken two ways. All I ever saw him do is try to practice what he preached. Stand against compromise and ecumenicalism. And it cost him his life. He died at 60. Never smoked a cigarette. Never drank a beer. I'm talking about live pure, but I'm to stress of life. The stress of standing. Y'all listening to me? I've had a real good beginning, but the end's going to be better than this. I can't tell you that all your trouble's going to go away, but I can tell you, if you don't get out of the ashes, you better allow God to do it at His time. You don't force God to fix something. You ask God to fix something. There's glory in my soul since Jesus took control. He placed within my heart a happy song. Amen. The joy bells sweetly ring while of His love I sing. Press on, it won't be very long. Press on, it won't be very long until we reach that land of song. In heaven some sweet day, I'm going there to stay. Press on, it won't be very long. In heaven I am told, the streets are purest gold. Oh, what a lovely place to make my home. United there we'll be. We'll shout the victory. Press on, it won't be very long. Press on, it won't be very long. Until we reach that land of song. In heaven some sweet day, I'm going there to stay. Press on, it won't be very long. It's not quitting time. Some of you right now with your heads bowed and eyes closed, you in a pile of ashes. You've had church members disappoint you. You've had family that's broken your heart. Some of you have been through broken marriages. Things I hope I never have to experience. Some of you have gone through some of the darkest hours. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself sitting in that pile of ashes too long. 40 chapters, Job sitting in the ashes. But there's a way out.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.